You're working with a genuine celebrity these days, because guess what show I did the other day? Celebrity Name Game.
Celebrity Name Game.
That's right. You done that yet?
Can I ask you some personal questions about it, or do you want to talk about something other
No, go on.
Okay. Did you know did it happen in the moment, or did you know stuff?
Oh, no, no. It happens
Give
in the moment.
Give us something.
There's nothing behind. They just say, yeah, you're going to get up there. Well, it was
you're
funny,
you play
though.
It for real.
You're going to play for real. And it's so for people that don't know, it's a Grand Denyer show on at 5:30 or 6 on Channel 10. It's a new Family Feud.
Yeah.
And they need a lot of celebrities. They're doing 350 episodes or something. So when I walked out, the look on the contestants' faces was like, who's this?
I thought it was
a celebrity name game.
No, they didn't.
But they put you up with different celebrities. So I did one episode with Gretel from Big Brother, Gretel Klein.
Yep.
Imrashiano.
Yep.
And Joe Hillebrand from Studio 10.
Can I be arrogant?
Yeah, what?
Here's what I would do with that show. I would go to Dave O'Neill and I'd say, what's some topics that you have jokes on?
Yeah, I know.
And work backwards from the jokes. So in other words, you go, I don't know. Because you've got to guess things, don't you?
Oh, man, some of them were hard.
So they could lob to you beforehand. You can make a joke about it and you get the joke and you get the gameplay.
For people that haven't seen, it's like charades, but they flash the names of things. It could be objects, could be celebrities, and you've got to say stuff so that the contestant answers. And then you do the same thing again, but you swap.
How did you go?
Oh, no, I was good.
Good at that. You've got a good brain.
So the woman's going, oh, okay, it's a 90s show with teenagers in it. I'm like, oh, Beverly Hills 90210, the OC. She goes, it's near a body of water. I'm like, Dawson's Creek. And so these two sisters were, Grant introduces them and says, these are two lovely sisters. They're both in the Salvation Army. And here's your celebrity, Dave O'Neill. And I come out and I go, Grant, yeah. Here's the sister. I go, yeah, we know each other. We know each other from the shelter, you know. Done nothing.
Do you reckon it stayed in?
I don't know. Then I said, I'd like to make a donation. I pulled $5 out and said, I want a receipt for that.
See, any time in that show you do something a little bit off.
Oh, Grant was loving it.
Yeah. A little off thing. It should stay in.
It should stay in. And they won the $10,000.
Yeah.
Which was great because, they work for the Salvos.
Don't say how much you got, but But if they're winning 10,000, you're sort of going, I think I did all the
everything. Oh, yeah.
I think I did all the work there. I think maybe that'd be a great thing for your series where you go outside and you go, guys, seriously.
Yeah, seriously, let's split it.
I'm not getting paid that much. Yeah. can I get a couple of extra grand given that I, work pretty hard for it? Seriously.
Well, one woman wanted a new washing machine, which is fair enough. Yeah. The washing machine had broken. And one woman wanted to go on a trip to Hadrian's Wall in England. So washing machine, fair enough, but you don't need to go to Hadrian's Wall. You know what I mean?
What's Hadrian's Wall?
It's up near Scotland where they build a wall to stop the Scottish coming over.
Jeez, I should know about that. I've been up around that part of the world.
I'm going to see it very soon. I'm going overseas very soon.
To Loch Ness.
Did you see the monster?
No, but I brought my monster.
Oh, play the music. Oh, here we go. Play the dick joke. Oh.
Hello and welcome to Somehow Related. And now please welcome your hosts, Glenn Robbins and Dave O'Neill.
Anyway, welcome to the show. And I tell you what, Glenn, I thought, I'm not saying I'm getting bored with your company.
Hang on.
But
backhanded.
I brought in a special guest. We've had Paul McCartney on the show the other day.
We had Colin Fruiterer.
But we've never had someone in the studio with us.
And is he going to judge us? How's it going to work?
He's just going to play along with us. He's going to have a crack himself.
Because he won't know. He can play as well. So he's like a third warrior going into the front. Who is it?
Look who's out there. It's Dave Thornton.
Dave Thornton. I'm a huge Dave Thornton fan.
Hey, thanks for coming in, Dave. Sit down.
Oh, shaking the hands. Sit down. Right. That's your seat there.
We know Dave, and you guys.
There we go.
How are you, Dave?
Mate, I'm good.
How'd you get here? I didn't see. What?
It's secret. We got here in a limo. I had to hire.
He's been hanging around outside.
Yeah.
Just loitering, mate.
Do you live in the area or?
Well,
close roughly. By. Yeah, we're in Fitzroy. You live near here.
Yeah, but it was a nice touch getting the limo to pick me up. Thanks, Dave.
I appreciate it. And you guys worked on Up in Middle Bogan together.
Oh, yeah.
That is true.
And we also worked together on your series.
On
the Dave Show. You played a great character. What was your character's name on that show?
Pete.
I was the personal trainer, wasn't I?
Yeah, Pete. The annoying dad at school. Yeah. Yeah, Pete. The male model.
You didn't audition anyone else for it.
No, it was just you.
Yeah.
Can I tell you an inside showbiz story?
Yeah,
so we had a scene where we all had to go on the slippery dippy, the backyard scene, right?
That's right.
So You didn't see this episode. What was it called? It's Wet and Wild. It's not Wet and Wild.
You slip and slide.
Slip and slide. And so we all had to.
Oh, I remember that.
Had to get our, do it in our shorts. I take my top off.
Yeah.
You know, I think I'm doing okay.
Yeah.
No one says anything. Dave Thornton turns up.
Yeah. Ripped.
Ripped. The girls were having a little word to me going, pretty cat, looking
do you,
pretty
do
good.
Do you work out, Dave?
Well, just before they went on holiday and got some, like...
got some steroids.
Got some testosterone boosters.
Well, the girls, big, as you know, we have a fairly big female cast.
And this is up in Ilbogen.
It was turning some heads. You were turning some heads.
Because
you're
the ex of Michaela Bannister's character, is that correct?
Yes,
you're the
Troy.
Ex. Troy, you're Troy, the ex-husband.
Yeah. Which, I remembered Robin Butler and Wayne Hope, who wrote the thing.
Mm.
They were like, oh, it takes a very talented person to act that stupid. That's what they said about me and my character. And I was like, oh, that's a nice compliment, but I don't know if that's the truth.
Did you draw on a part of yourself? Did you?
Mate, it's not a long bow for me, to be
honest. No, it's not me. To play dumb guy, that's not hard for me.
Because for that character, Troy, because I was...
sort of a bit of a putz, but...
The ex de facto of Michaela Bannister's character.
Yeah.
She's a tough woman.
She's a tough woman. And the last two parts that I've played in the ABC... had been that character and also Diggsy on Get Cracking, which is the two Kates show.
Right, yep.
Oh, who was that character?
I played Diggsy, who's this footy guy who's now turned, you know, media personality who goes on all those shows and just...
Oh, great.
Legend, look at this guy. Right. And like, you know, I wear a purple polo shirt and it's enough for me to be, oh, what a Wally Wolfter, look at this guy.
Oh, yeah, right.
And both of them aren't far... From what I think my life could have been if things didn't zig.
Well, that's the trick to acting. People think, oh, you're really clever with your character. You know, it's just another version of me. Kel Knight's another version of me.
It's good casting.
What's a version of me? Uncle Arthur's me in a... Well, now.
You're just projecting.
Anyway, so if you haven't heard the show, should we explain?
Yeah, you explain it, Glenn.
Well, it's a show called Somehow Related where we get two topics. Well, Sam...
Our computer help, yeah.
It gives us two topics and they are related, but you wouldn't think that they are.
We discuss them, we try to work out, and you have a guess at the end and then you find out the answer.
Yeah, find the answer. Now, look, you probably want to walk out of the room. You walk a bit taller if you work it out, but I think, you know, the world is a better place because we investigate things. So anyway, so nothing is off the table and don't be scared and let's have a chat about it. Yeah. See where we go.
Should we get the topics?
Here we go.
What are the topics, Sam?
Henry Ford and soybeans.
Right, Dave. Soybeans and Henry Ford.
We're not asking you to solve it straight away.
No.
Can I say, I don't know about you, but when I was growing up, you were either a Ford man
or a Holden man.
Now,
true.
What about your generation?
Yeah, we were Ford and Holden. We were Holden.
Yes.
We were Ford. Were you?
Also, what I've realised is that you put those two topics together, this feels like the trajectory of my life because I grew up in Geelong with the Ford factory. It's still there. It's like an elephant's graveyard now. You can literally drive by and it's like they just locked the doors and left.
Was that where they did the engines?
Yes. That was...
Well, that wasn't the whole production line.
No, it was the whole production line. By the end, it was barely holding on. But at the start, because that is... I could be wrong about this, but that's where the ute was designed.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
It was in Geelong. The ute was invented in Geelong.
They should have that Geelong capital of the ute.
Yeah, they should do that.
As you're driving into Geelong.
What is Geelong capital of what now? G-Town. G-Troy.
Teen pregnancy. Started teen pregnancy.
The home of the bloke with the mohawk who was mayor for a while.
Hey, come on.
Yeah.
Darren.
Yes.
Yeah.
But what's weird is because Ford is the sponsor of the Geelong Cats, which is almost what the whole city gravitates to.
Yeah,
it's true. And they're still the sponsor for
it. And I know.
It's like the tattoo of your ex still on your arm.
Yeah, they've abandoned them, haven't they? They've abandoned Geelong Ford, basically.
But they still take that. And then now because I live in Brunswick, soybeans is right crosshairs.
So you're well-versed in both. So it's Henry Ford.
Henry Ford, yeah.
Who was, if I'm right in saying...
Model T Ford.
And the production line, wasn't
it? Yeah, he came up with the production line.
Which means what? That cars, they get on a conveyor belt, don't they? Kind of thing.
And you're
the one guy that puts on the...
Yeah, the wheels.
And then the next guy puts on the...
Did you ever go to the Ford factory? Surely as a kid, you went
to a tour. No, I never went on a tour there. My mum was the nurse there for a few years.
Oh, wow.
And she told me a story about one time where a guy came through and a rod had gone right through his neck. I'm not kidding. But all the organs, it didn't hit his backbone because obviously he walked to her office. So in that respect, it was fine. and all the organs had pushed out of the way. Like, it had just gone Lucky. Through, and there wasn't really a lot of damage.
Like a bullet.
Yeah, so he's just walked through with a rod in his neck.
Going, wasn't damage to the rod, you mean? Because that's probably what they were more worried about.
Yeah, probably. Back in the day, that's what it was like. We got plenty more workers.
Back to work,
yeah,
mate.
But those rods are pretty hard to replace. Yeah.
Yeah, so he came out with a production line idea, didn't he, Henry Ford? All I can remember about Henry Ford is that he quite admired Hitler. He used to write to him, or there's some weird story. Henry Ford and Hitler. I don't know, well, that's got to do with soybeans. And but then again, Hitler was a vegetarian. So.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Also, didn't he have that great quote, if he asked people what they wanted, they'd just say more horses? That was Henry Ford's quote of just going, people don't know what they want, so you give them what they want.
Yeah, so they didn't want cars, they wanted more horses. That's right. Yeah. So
doesn't Seinfeld do the thing about horsepower?
Yeah.
And that rockets are described in horsepower now.
That's funny, isn't it?
It's funny, isn't it?
That is a good observation.
So are cars still described in horsepower now? Yeah, I think they are.
Sure, they would be.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
So, and what's a horsepower?
Yeah, exactly, because that turn of phrase, you're like, well, horses have gotten quicker, haven't they? Times have gotten quicker.
Yeah.
Has your power turned up?
It's one of those things that you pretend that you know, but you don't really know. Oh, I know what a horsepower is. I know what one is. Yeah. So if it's got 400... Then
yeah, it's
that's
true.
Really
well, it's good. Like knots is the same. What is knots? You know, when if yachts go at a knot, it's like, what is that?
Nautical miles.
Yeah, nautical miles. What does that mean? Anyway.
Yeah, that's, yeah.
Henry Ford. Yeah, I don't know much about Henry Ford.
He was mates with Edison.
Hitler.
And Edison.
All right. Yeah.
So he hung around with Hitler. He didn't hang around with Hitler.
I think he wrote to him or visited him. Do you want me to, we can ask Sam.
Dear Hitler, Sam. There's a start of a letter.
Sam, what was the relationship between Henry Ford and Hitler?
I'm thinking of going to Poland this summer. Do you think that's a good idea? I'm going to get him before you.
Dear Henry, I've got some thoughts. Perhaps don't go there this summer.
But there was a lot of that because remember the English aristocracy and even the royal family
were mates
with Hitler.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that's right.
They really liked
him. Yeah, and they had to sort of brush over that when things got a little bit rough, they had to sort of pour some cold water on it, didn't they?
They distanced themselves.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, very similar to how comedians are distancing themselves from Louis C.K., people like that. It's very similar. That's why I'm not having lunch with Jeffrey Rush anymore. Not that I ever had lunch with Jeffrey Rush.
Jeffrey Rush, he got off, though. Oh, he got off the defamation came through, didn't
yes.
he?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, we don't want to. Oh God, yeah. Don't sue us. God, we got no money.
It was like, I listened to a great podcast about World War One, and they said that's where the Germans were initially getting the one over the other troops, because like the French would still turn up, Napoleonic kind of idea with feathers in their helmets, stroll up with the horses at the front and go, right, we've all lined up. And the Germans were like, yeah, that's great. We've just invented tanks.
Yeah.
So watch this decimation. So, I mean, yeah, it's like the industrialization of warfare.
It's like we used to get in the park as kids and they had to have a normal fight, then people started to turn up with baseball bats. Because I came from Broadmeadows, which is in the northern.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't come from Broadmeadows. I was two stops before Broadmeadows. So,
And
the football ground that I used to play football at was the ground where that shooting took place in the Saturday morning football.
Oh.
I don't know why I'm telling you.
Oh, yeah, where the guy shot and ran off.
Yeah, the runner.
The underbelly.
The underbelly
killing.
But they used to turn up with baseball bats to fights up on the Oval.
Wow.
Anyway.
It's like the Warriors.
So don't mess with me. I know people.
You're the original boy from Broadie. He was ripping this thing out for decades.
Yeah. No, well, I'm from Strathmore, which is your hoity-toity version of your hoity-toity.
Yeah,
Broadmeadow Heights.
But I only had to go into Oak Park, and that's where all the boys from the underbelly came from. All the Oak Park.
And Brian Mannix.
Brian Mannix, Oak Park.
From Uncanny X-Men, yep. They're from Oak Park.
That's a great factoid.
What are you?
Specs is alive and well.
What are you? So you're Geelong. I'm
Mitcham.
I'm Stratton. Mitcham. What's Mitcham? What's that? That's
near Ringwood.
That's middle. Is that upper middle?
No,
lower middle.
Lower middle. Describe in the paper as lower middle working class suburb.
Mm. Was Mitcham not? That was your Caroline Springs of its day, was it not?
Yeah, it was like
suburbs, and then Melbourne grew to join it.
So for our interstate listeners, how would we describe where we all came up?
I'd say lower middle class.
We're all lower.
My parents were working class. Your parents were working class.
Yeah.
And they wanted a middle class life. And that's why they moved to these areas. Better life for their children. We all went to government schools, so they weren't that aspirational. They weren't sending us after Scotch or, you know what I mean? They were just, they were, because working class people, the thought of private schools back then was out of reach for them. It's too much money.
Yeah,
totally.
But nowadays, you get working class people sending their kids to those schools. It's interesting.
Or you get Catholic schools.
You know, they're 8 grand a year.
Quasi.
Now, Sam, what is the story? She's found it.
Henry Ford is the only American mentioned in Mein Kampf.
I got a shout out.
He was a well-known anti-Semite writing articles in the Dearborn Independent issued in four volumes cumulatively titled The International Jew, The World's Foremost Problem.
Imagine being the only guy mentioned in Mein Kampf, the only American.
It's not a... Wouldn't be putting that in your resume.
It's not a good one. It's not a good one. It's like Pauline Hanson getting up and going, you know, people are asking my favourite comedian, Glenn Robbins. I just love Glenn.
Don't name check me, for the love of God.
And you're at home going, don't mention me. It was like when we interviewed ScoMo on Nova before he became, before the election.
Yeah.
And he came to the studio, he just looks at Sam Pang, he goes, oh, I love you, Sam Pang. You are hilarious. Me and the wife, we watch your show every Monday. And Sam's like, oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's like, why is this happening? But then again, you hope you do something for all.
Yeah.
You know, I've met some people that walk on the other side of the road and I go,
oh, same here.
Yeah. Would you be happy to know that we were popular in prison?
Yeah, prison's fine with me. I think
trust me. Yeah, trust me. It's probably a good thing to do.
Yeah. Just in case, you never know where this is going
to
end up.
But would you be happy if Andrew Bolt said to you, for example, "Hey, I love your podcast. You blokes are great."
But we're not condoning his politics. We're just bringing a plate to the table.
Yeah,
we're not turning around and using it for our own gain.
No,
but what about Fraser Anning? Like, that's the real heavy part of the.
No, I wouldn't be happy with that.
Yeah. That's brutal.
I don't think you could work a podcast.
But what about where people have taken? I can't think of a good example. But if you put out a song, some people will use it within their campaign.
Oh, that's no good. Yeah, when Clive Palmer used "We're Not Going to Take It" by Twisted Sister,
that would upset you.
No, that's no good.
Well, Bruce Springsteen,
born
in the USA.
Yeah, George Bush was using it, wasn't he?
Isn't that crux of?
And he told him to stop using it.
Stop using it. It's that crux of. I listened to a great podcast about it where they said when satire just becomes the catch cry of the people you're lampooning.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Because born in the USA, he's all about coming back from Vietnam and hating the US and you've never been treated well. And now as his politicians are like, yeah, because I'm born in the USA. Like, it's supposed to be satire. Like,
You don't get it.
Yeah. Like Gordon Gekko in Wall Street. You know, he's like, greed is good. And now every guy in a shiny suit in Wall Street is like, greed is good, get it? Like, no, it's supposed to tell you it's not.
It's the inflection.
Good, it's good. It's like Al Murray, the pub landlord, you know, the British guy. And he goes, occasionally I get skinheads turning up thinking that I'm real. And they, you know, because he goes, back off Brussels and all that. Yeah. He's anti-EU, he's anti, you know, he's pro-Brexit. But he occasionally gets skinheads turning up thinking that he's actually a real right-wing guy.
Yeah.
So, any more about Henry Ford?
I don't know. Hitler mentioned him in Mein Kampf. That's amazing.
Apparently he was
a shout-out.
He was there when Einstein died.
He was there when Einstein died.
I think he heard. He would, if Einstein was dying, he'd say to him, "Just give us one more. You've got electricity. Well done. You've got the others, and I'll take it as mine, and I won't tell anybody."
Was Einstein Jewish? That sounds.
Yes,
like
he was Jewish. He was a refugee.
Well, that sounds like intent. Now Ford took him out. Yeah.
I'll look after him, guys. You go get a cup of tea.
So what did Ford. Einstein do? He did electricity, he did telephones, and he did
Ford.
Einstein.
Oh, Einstein. Electricity.
Electricity?
I don't know the theory of relativity.
He
did that one. Of Einstein.
E equals MC squared.
Which is what?
E equals MC squared. I don't know what that means. But
no, I don't know. We'll repeat it. I just learned it like a parrot. But, well, the Hitler thing's interesting because I guess, you know, it's a bit of conjecture who did start the mass production of the automobile because Mercedes was really early in Germany.
Oh, true.
And then, you know, but then the Volkswagen was... That was invented.
Hitler's people's car. Yeah.
People's car.
Yeah, Hitler. Yep,
so whether
right.
he took a leaf from...
I remember that urban myth that if the hub, you look at the hubcaps, it had a swastika in it when it would go around. Yeah, yeah.
I haven't heard that. Yeah.
Have you heard that?
Yeah.
If you look at the VW on the side on a hubcap and it spins around fast enough, it turns into a swastika. And does it?
I don't think so.
I think that was just a little bit of film trickery, wasn't
it?
I've
got a Volkswagen. We'll go and have a look now if you want. Don't have a Beetle, though.
Just lift it up and spin the back wheel.
This is turn this podcast. Now this is Fraser Anning's favourite podcast.
Yeah. I love those guys. My dad drove a Beetle across the Nullarbor once. He lived in Perth.
Really?
Yeah, when it was dirt road. Yeah, him and his mate when they were in the Air Force. How was that? Driving a...
They're in the Air Force, so they could have flown.
Yeah, they could have flown. Got a lift.
A mate of mine had a Volkswagen. It didn't have a petrol gauge.
Oh, really?
So imagine that.
That's
but it had a spare petrol tank.
Oh, wow.
So you...
And you'd switch it.
You switch it over the spare tank.
Those Germans knew what they're doing, didn't they?
What does a horse or... Who has the two stomachs? What animal has that?
Cow. Cow has three, doesn't it?
Oh, you're right. Yeah, I think you're right.
How about that? How about you go out for dinner? Hey, we benefit. Do you want to go out and... Yeah, it's all right, I'll use my other stomach. We might.
Yeah, handy.
It's got to be handy.
Bloody, I'd love that. Oh, I'd love that. As a fat man. All right, well, let's move on to soybean, though.
Okay. Soybeans.
I don't know. Do you like, as you said, you live in the hipster central part of Melbourne.
Yes.
There's a lot of soy products, yeah?
Of course.
In Brunswick?
Of course.
There's soy latte?
As that great Adam Rosenbach's joke, it's just you get milk out of things that don't have nipples.
It's true.
Anything's milk.
Oatmeal now.
Yeah. Cashew.
Yeah.
Almond.
Yeah.
Almond milk's big.
Almond milk is big.
I'm not saying Dave, but Glenn's and he's like his almond milk.
I'm a recent.
He's almond milk.
No, I'm as well, mate.
Are you almond milk as well?
I'm on board.
I'm almond on my breakfast. Yeah.
I'm just normal milk.
Yeah, okay. Does it make you better or does it make you...
It makes me common, I think, now.
You're getting a lot of... What are you getting a lot of with milk? You're getting
I mean, to be honest, it's like everyone in this day and age, Netflix has ruined my want to have any animal products or whatever.
Yeah, right. Why has Netflix ruined it?
Oh, because there'll be documentaries about how harmful the gross amount of animal products that we put into our system.
You shouldn't look.
It's like that. Once you uncover it... Yeah. Okay.
There are other shows on Netflix you can watch.
No, my partner's she's a lay vegetarian. I think she's trying to swing me.
So is my partner's an ex-vegetarian. Yeah.
I went vegan for a couple of weeks, nearly died.
Really?
I went so lightheaded and vague, and my stepdaughter came home and said, "We got pies for lunch," and I went.
I remember that period. You were really annoying. Remember that?
No, but not only did I step back out of being a vegan, I just went whole hog ate a whole pie and then felt sick and had to lie down.
Yeah, well, pies will do that to you, though.
What a scene. It's like Train Spotting.
Yeah.
Fall off the wagon.
On. I'm into it.
Chewing your own face. I mean, soy's a funny one because growing up in Australia in the 80s, you only remember soy sauce. Like, do you know what I mean? That was the only soy that you had.
Yeah.
So I just assumed it was from the...
A black bean.
Oh, hang on. So that's a good question.
Like it was...
What is soy sauce? That's a good question.
Is it from soy? I'm assuming... Well, yes.
It's black.
But hang on. So why is soy milk white?
Oh, this is... Oh, this is going to blow people's head off. Yeah. You've stumbled across that. You're like Columbo. Oh, one more question.
Is soy sauce really soy sauce? That's right. What is soy sauce?
I'm assuming it will, because that's what, in my mind, it was always something to do with, as it would say in the 80s, like the distant Orient. You know, like what would that, you know, it's all, this is something from at the Far East.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, Sam, what is soy sauce?
According to Wikipedia, soy sauce is a liquid condiment of Chinese origin, made from a fermented paste of soybeans, roasted grain, brine, and Aspergillus oryza or Aspergillus soja molds. Soy sauce in its current form was created about 2,200 years ago during the Western Han Dynasty of ancient China and spread throughout Asia, where it is used in cooking and as a condiment.
It's actually farmed from tiny plastic fishes.
Yeah, I've noticed
once
that.
Once you catch them, they're full of them.
It's amazing. So it's a soybean, but it's a fermented soybean, like a vinegar.
But the fact is, it's still soy.
Yeah.
I never thought about it.
It's got a lot of salt in it, though, hasn't it?
Yeah.
It's a great flavour.
It's a good condiment.
Oh, it's the best.
Yeah.
We've had these conversations.
What about tamari? Have you had tamari?
Tamari's not bad.
Not bad, but still not as good, is it? But tamari's a healthy equivalent to soy.
I've had this conversation with mates, and it's brought up a lot where you go, if you had one condiment, what would it be? And I've got to be honest, I was almost going to take mustard over tomato sauce.
Really?
Yeah. That's how much I love mustard.
That's a great dinner party. What would you do, Glenn? What would you go? What condiment would you go?
Can I say, is butter a condiment?
No, that's a spread.
Oh. Jeez, you were quick off the mark on that one.
That's a spread.
But if I've got potatoes, am I not adding butter to my potatoes on the table?
Oh, well, I would go butter.
Okay, I think you're right. I don't think it's a condiment in the realm that we're talking about.
Mm. Because butter would decimate everyone. I understand what you're saying. Because butter would.
It's just, when all the condiments get together. Butter's coming later.
Yeah, butter's the original
king. He's the king. Oh, g'day, butter. How are you? Yeah, excuse me.
I'm very busy.
I think I'm in everything.
I've had a resurgence.
What's the rope, butter? You're not getting in.
Where's margarine? No. Cleaning the toilets again? Yeah, whatever. Oh, margarine.
Mayonnaise is like, oh, okay, I'm out again.
Yeah,
back to the question, condiment that you would have.
Well, if you only had one condiment.
It would be a relish.
Oh, a tomato.
Green
relish?
Tomato. Green tomato. My Auntie Roma used to make green tomato, and it, when they asked me, you know, where you do that column in the back of the Age, where they said your favourite thing was my Auntie Roma's green tomato relish. Yeah,
but that's because I mean, essentially, it's tomato sauce, but like a real high end.
Yeah, yeah. And now they're dining out on it. You know, they put relish on it, but it's just the same stuff.
If you have my wife would always buy the healthy organic tomato sauce. Sure. But the kids always demand that just, you know, Rosella. And you have that Rosella or that, it's still pretty good. Like the original tomato sauce is still very, very good.
Once you throw that in fish and chips.
But I like vinegar, actually.
High sugar content. Good.
Vinegar.
High sugar content.
Very high sugar content.
Did I tell you about the time that I was in a country town and I got a bucket of chips and I went, I'll have some vinegar on those, please. And the guy gets the bottle of vinegar and pours it in like water
into
the cup. And I went, hey, whoa, what are you doing? Anyway, so he stops. I pick up the bucket of chips and it's...
Soggy?
It's eaten away the bottom of the cup. Yeah. And the whole thing goes all over the bench. And I go, what's going on? He goes, to tell the truth, that's why I don't like to put vinegar on my chips.
What are you doing?
You did it. Yeah. I wanted to squirt.
Know, country towns are weird. I'm going to
drown them.
I'm going to go to Euroa and I said, I have sauce on the dim sims. He goes, you want soy or tomato? I'm like,
oh, no.
I go, who has tomato sauce on the dim sims? He goes, mate, they do here in Euroa, in the country. But then I remember going to Benalla and going, this was in the 80s, going to a pizza shop and saying, can I get a margarita? The guy goes, what's that? And I go, it's just when you have like cheese and tomato and some herbs. He goes, bullshit. I go, no. And he goes, to the chef. Hey, come out here, mate. Tell him what you said. I said,
old city slicker here.
I just want a pizza with cheese, tomato, and some herbs. He's like, what? What's that called, mate? Because they were just Hawaiian, Aussie, meat lovers. Anyway.
So what was our condiment? Yours was?
Mine was mustard.
Mustard, yours was?
I don't know. It might be vinegar. I don't know. I like soy,
tomato sauce, by the
way. I love sauce.
Yeah, don't overthink it.
I got tomato sauce. I got tomato sauce.
So if you're on Desert Island, there's a podcast, Desert Island Condiments.
That's the only one you can bring with you.
Yeah, 5 minutes in, you'd be like, oh, okay, we've got to go. That's
okay, so I'm a recent convert to soy.
What do you mean?
Coffee.
Oh, you have a soy latte.
And I'm really annoyed because this is the same thing as you. I read about it and I go, oh, it's not actually that good for you. But I'm going, I thought I was doing the right thing crossing over to soy. Aren't I doing the right thing? Right.
And then also because they invent milk that's better for boiling or for, you know, making in coffees.
Right.
Yes.
But then it's got full of coagulants, kind of like, you know, like binding products and things like that in it. In soy for like soy milk that they use in cafes. So you're like, now it's riddled with stuff.
Oh, that's interesting.
Oh, is it? It's not natural because...
So it's not in that Tetra Pak they got from the health food shop anymore.
Yeah.
It's like the...
So are you a soy latte guy?
No, I'm now a long black. I'm like, right, I've waved the white flag, ironically, to a black coffee because I'm like, right, you're all out. I want the hit. As I get older and I've got two young kids, so I'm constantly just looking for caffeine. Mm. And I was at one stage, the local cafe around the corner from me, which I've got a cafe side by side, but because this one was three steps closer, I started frequenting this one when my first was born because I was so sleep deprived.
Yeah.
And I was getting, I think, four or five shots in my long black because I was just like strong, large, long black. And the guy like kept jacking it up, but I was so tired. I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
And I was like, it was borderline methamphetamine.
Yeah.
It was too much.
Can I just be indulgent for 1 second?
Yeah.
My stepdaughter's is about to have a baby and she's about to get married. And he's a regular, his name is Alex, and he's a regular listener to this podcast.
Mm. He's a chef, isn't he?
Yeah. Can you give him a 30-second thing about having his first child?
What it's going to be like?
Oh, you got to look on your face.
I'm trying to think if you want a positive outcome. Negative outcome.
Do you want me to go first?
I'll
go
well, you've first. Had three.
I've had three. You, when you look at other people's kids, you go, that's really annoying. But when you look at your own, it's a lot different. You can understand why. It's like a caveman thing, is that you love your child unlike any other thing. Yeah.
Dave's not giving you the loving look.
No, but I also don't kid yourself that your life's going to, I'll just be the same as I was.
Yeah, it's not.
Someone described it to me the best way to say having young kids is like being a heroin addict. Like soon enough, that's what all your mates are doing.
Yeah.
You don't know what else to talk about.
I also reckon having one's like being shot. and you're lying on the ground and you're it's like you're fucked. You're lying on the ground. Oh, that's fucked. That's me gone. And so having another one is just like getting another bullet. What's another bullet?
Yeah, okay, so you're already shot.
What's another bullet?
Yeah, that's true. I'm already bleeding out.
Because I got Romy when she was 8. She's been through all that. I haven't been through that. So why am I not tolerant? Because I never learnt tolerance.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Oh, he'll love it. He'll love it.
He'll be a fantastic father. He's really good anyway. You're getting that look on your face like, I thought Alex is about to go through this.
Bill Burr actually said on the podcast, the Conan O'Brien podcast that you put me onto, that he said, you think it's like a step to Mount Everest, but it's actually like stepping off a curb, he said. It's not as bad as you think it's going to be.
Stepping off a curb?
That's what he said, having a kid. Well, you think it's going to be this huge leap, but it's not a huge leap.
And also what I think is they're so rudimentary.
He too is a lot.
Yeah. But it's so rudimentary. It's like, yeah, they're crying because they need sleep, they need food, they need to be changed. That's it.
And also that stage doesn't last.
Me. Like all of us.
That stage doesn't last forever.
And then you grow as the child grows. Yeah. Like you become more nuanced as they do. So by the time, you know, at every step, you're like, okay, this is getting a bit harder. But
me and Thorno are running parenting classes. Time to come along.
Yeah. You should do it because Mandy Nolan's doing a thing on divorce. You could do a thing on first-time dads.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that'd be interesting. Okay, so what else we got on soybeans? Thanks for that, by the way. Estrogen.
What's that? It might give you estrogen.
No, it doesn't. Does soy have – what does it have? It has something in Ivo-Sovo flavor. Maybe that's what you were talking about. It's got stuff in it that's good for you. I'm not sure. Now, I've read so much. I don't know. I don't know whether it's good or bad for me. I think because they taste so good.
I don't mind soy milk, actually. I don't mind it in a smoothie. I don't mind it.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I don't mind the taste. I don't mind it at all.
I don't mind it either.
Yeah,
it's okay. I mean, I will concede full cream milk tastes delicious.
Oh, it's unbelievable. It's like drinking cream, though.
Yeah.
If you have skinny milk or soy milk all the time, it's like drinking cream.
Well, it's like the tradies. They're going the chocolate milk.
Oh, man. You have a milkshake? I love a milkshake. You have a milkshake occasionally. I look like a man who drinks milkshakes.
Is protein in milk, yeah?
Yeah,
is there protein in soy?
There must be some sort of protein.
I think there is.
Because I was listening to the podcast the other day about the artificial meat.
Oh, yeah, growing the meat.
They're basically taking the cow out of they're taking food that exists in the ground and then putting it through the meat process and making it into this new artificial meat that tastes like, looks like, is like, and is as good for you as meat.
But they've grown it in a petri dish.
Yeah, that's right, in a lab.
Kind of, scientists have done it. But you question whether or not there's, what are they called? Artificial, what do you call it? GMO?
Oh, GMO.
There's no GMO.
Genetically modified.
Yeah, there's no GMO in it. It's all plant-based. Anyway.
Interesting.
By the by, I don't know why I told you that. How are we going? What normally happens is we discuss the two topics.
Yeah.
And then
we have some thinking
maybe
music.
In the back of your mind, you've mulled something. That how they are related. Maybe we've touched on something. I don't know.
Well, we should have some thinking music. What sort of? Or you have a music.
We play something related to the topics that we can have a little bit of a thing. I think you can go for a little walk.
I think an excerpt of Mein Kampf would be good because I know Fraser Anning's a big fan, and he'd like to. Okay, we're not playing Mein Kampf. All right.
Well, I'm not saying we shouldn't, is it? But okay, we won't.
Is there an audio version of that book? It must be.
What about?
It was banned in Germany.
I'm a bit older than you guys. Yeah. What are you? You were a 70s child?
Yeah, I was born in the 60s, so yeah.
When were you born?
Dave's.
I was born in 79, so I was an 80s child.
Because I'm thinking, what's the oldest ad that we might all remember for Ford? Because they've been around all our life.
Oh, that's a good idea. Ford ad. Well, Alan Moffat was the Ford man, wasn't he? Alan Moffat. Remember Alan Moffat? Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Well, it was Brock and Holden and Alan Moffat.
Oh,
Ford.
Yeah, they were the big enemies. Came out at Bathurst.
Yeah.
So
what is a Ford ad? I can't remember any Ford ads.
What's a Ford cell line? Ford,
that's a good question.
I just remember the old first on race day, which is the argument. You know, that's what it's
Ford
for.
Stands for.
Yeah, that's what it always
like
says.
Fiat stands for Fix It Again Tony. Classic.
I didn't know
Eric
that.
Banner's a big Ford man.
It's funny.
Massive Ford man. Yeah, huge Ford man.
So how about we ask Sam to find
a Ford ad for us.
A Ford ad that is kind of, that you might remember.
Oh, yeah.
We'll have to be 80s then.
Oh, we could go late 70s.
Yeah.
Because you probably can remember, think of Pick Apart. Remember the Pick Apart?
Oh, it'd be great if we found the pick-apart ad.
That's very Victorian. For anyone listening, is only. But it was just a junkyard. You could literally pick
apart. Pick a part. Well, we'll try and find the pick a part ad.
Pick a part. Don't leave that car just sitting in a heap. Come to Pick a Part, where everything's cheap. Secondhand parts for secondhand cars, from a door to a wheel or a bumper bar. Now at Pick a Part, there's nothing on the shelf because you bring your tools and do it all yourself. Check out the cars for the part that's right. You're sure to find it. There's hundreds on site. Then you strip the car for the parts you need. Pick a part, but do it carefully, because there's no warranty. Fossil Road, Kilsyth, 7 days a week. Entry's free and everything's cheap.
Oh, that's a great suggestion, Thorno.
Great stuff.
Imagine getting that voiceover job, though, because that's singing and speaking at the sort of...
You would have been good at that.
Yeah. You're a voiceover guy. Pick a part.
Yeah,
you he'd have a few takes on that, though, wouldn't he? We've got to do it again, Philip. I'll just go back to the beer.
But it's very catchy.
Very catchy.
Because if it's on the telly, you're going, can you put the rubbish bins out? Yeah, I'm just going to sing the rest of the song.
Pick a part. Well, it's like call for Carpa Call, the experts in the trade. Everyone remembers those jingles.
Yeah.
When your muffler snuffs it, take it to Midas. Oh, that's just me. All right, fair enough.
I remember the Good Guys one annoyed me.
Oh, yeah, that was
come
annoying.
Come in and see the good.
No,
good
that was guys. That was going too far.
Yeah, because you repeated good too many times. You could do better.
And they're trying to do the Beach Boys, weren't they?
I did
a thing on the panel which was quite clever. I took the Good Guys jingle and I put it under a Liberal Party ad.
Oh, very good.
I said, what the parties are missing is a jingle.
Yes.
Because you don't, what do they have? They have a statement, don't they? But they don't have jingles.
Whitlam had a jingle, It's Time. Remember the It's Time ad?
Oh, that's a good point.
Yeah, he had a jingle.
Right, actually. Well, how did that go?
I can't remember, but it was more like music and It's Time.
And it was well-known people singing it, wasn't
yes,
it?
Yes, it was like...
some people
Marsha Hines, maybe someone like that.
People from like cop shows and stuff.
Yeah, they'll sing all the.
Yeah, I remember Urella. Urella was a school for kids with special needs, but it was a great jingle.
They had a great jingle. They did.
Urella are people helping people.
Urella are people helping people. They did it in chorus. Yeah.
It was a really good song.
It's a good song.
That's a good day.
That was our Do They Know It's Christmas after all. Yeah. I felt like all these celebs were getting behind it.
Urella are people.
That was good.
That's right. I remember that. All right, so
unfortunately now...
Get it. You have a crack first, Dave, then. You have a guess.
Look, I can only think because Henry Ford was the first to work out the conveyor belt of production.
Mm.
Is the soybean a similar thing? I don't know how it's farmed or it's...
Yeah, I don't know. It's a soy plant.
I got to say, that's exactly what I was thinking. Because if Henry Ford is sitting there going, well, if I can build cars, why don't you chuck a soybean on the conveyor belt?
Right.
And...
Well, I'm going to say...
What are you going to say?
Henry Ford, he convinced Hitler to drink soy milk, you know. They're both vegetarians.
Hang on. How's it work? Tell me how that works.
I don't know. He gets on the phone. He goes, hey, mate, you got to stop eating meat, Hitler. You know, there's plenty of other things you can... You can have soy milk instead of normal milk.
And Henry Ford's done that?
Yeah, I think Henry Ford did that.
Maybe he learned how to mass-produce soy milk.
And he said, just mention me in your little book, and I'll...
Give me a shout-out.
I can't get over that. He's the only guy to be mentioned. Anyway.
That was the 20th century version of tagging someone in a post.
Yeah.
You put out a manifesto and go, flick it over to page 78.
It's like getting the Unibomber's manifesto and they mention you. Oh, don't mention me. What the fuck?
Do you do that? Quite seriously, do you do that? Mm-hmm. If you see someone famous, well, okay, it's a bit indulgent, but I've had friends of mine who are well-known and they put out a book. I've seen the book on the show.
Oh, and you go through and you see if they thank you.
The index and go on. Glenn Robbins, and then go on through. What are you doing? Just looking at the...
Book.
Oh, it's me. Oh, yeah, I remember that day. Because there's been a couple that I won't mention. Shane Warne, whatever.
Michelle Laurie mentioned me in her book.
Steve Vizard, I think there was one. I don't think he wrote it. No, he wrote one of his. Yeah. Anyway, when you guys get further on in the industry...
Michelle Laurie mentioned me.
Did you mention me? You've written how many books?
Four, three or four.
Have I ever got a mention?
I don't think I get a mention.
Well, look, I'm going to do a showbiz one. You'll get mentioned in that. There'll be a whole chapter where I just slag people off. That'd be a great book.
Imagine if you turned.
Burning Bridges by David O'Neill. <Yeah.
laughs> I'll just be like one of those Peter Ford Hollywood reporters, just a snarky guy, and, you know. So it's time for Hollywood Gossip with Dave O'Neill. Yeah, hello. And just do that, you know.
John Mark Wales.
Yeah, hello.
Will you write a book one day, you reckon?
Dave Thornton has been seen... At a Brunswick cafe.
I don't want to. Mind you, I'm happy for everyone at the end of, like, once you get into those golden years and you retire.
Have a crack.
Give a. And there's a lot of meat on that bone. I just hate that Justin Bieber's put out five or something before 30.
Yeah, well, that's always funny that they put out a book.
It's like when kids on Young Talent Time used to sing I Did It My Way. You're going, you're eight. You haven't done anything
I
yet.
I did it my way.
They said stay between the lines. I didn't cull it outside of him. This kid does it his
Mum drove me.
Okay, so... What are you saying? I'm saying converted him. And we're actually sort of saying the same thing. What is the answer?
Thanks, Sam.
Henry Ford in 1941 released a prototype of a soybean car. The fenders and body were made from soybeans and other agricultural products.
No.
What?
It's amazing. Just put it,
The New York Times in 1941 said the car body and fenders were made from strong materials derived from soybeans, wheat and corn. It was in part a hedge against rationing of steel during World War II. Henry Ford even proclaimed that he would grow automobiles from the soil, but it obviously never happened. He did have 12,000 acres of soybeans just for experimentation.
Oh,
wow. Next time you're getting coffee, you're getting a soy. Turn to the person next to you who you don't know and go, here's an interesting fact you didn't know about soybean. Did you know that Henry Ford turned into a car?
And the Brunswick hipster will go, oh, that creepy guy talking to me again. Why are you talking to me again?
You have been listening to Somehow Related with Glenn Robbins and Dave O'Neill.
You know, all the baristas in that general area are always so warm, so it'd be great when I transpose that information across to them and the apathy
goes
up a notch.
You might be surprised when you're threatened by someone in a coffee shop and they're drinking a coffee, having an argument. You'll go, there's something you don't know. It'll just quieten the moment a bit.
Mm.
So just keep it in your back pocket. I wouldn't play it. I would play it as a second card, not the first card.
Yeah.
And that was Henry Ford, who him and Hitler really had a duel.
Well,
so.
We are finding that people are listening to this podcast and being much more enlightened when they go to a dinner party.
Yeah,
because they've got facts about life that you wouldn't normally, you know, bring up.
That's true.
This has also now smashed up the condiment thing, isn't it? Because if you've got soy sauce on a desert island, you could build a raft out of it.
Hey, good thinking. This is why you're in here, Dave.
Sure, you brought a lot to the table.
I've actually got to retire now.
You're like Superman. He'll sort of walk back out and we'll never see him again.
Well, thanks for coming in, Dave.
Dissipate
into the ether. Thanks for coming in. Is that okay? How did you find it?
No, it was very good.
Oh, good.
Did you go into areas that you didn't think you'd go?
Yeah.
Has it been a little bit of a therapy session?
There is a bit of that. I feel like I've ruined your son-in-law's life from here on end. Just for giving him a heads up about the impending child.
Oh,
And you know that we don't pay you, but...
Oh, I said $5,000, but you'd cover it, Glenn.
No, but we have burgers and
he gets a burger.
Because I reckon if we wanted to give away a prize on this show, it'd be having burgers with us.
Yeah, what a prize.
But you're going to be the first guest. Congratulations.
Thank you, mate.
And first person to come and have burgers with us. Congratulations.
And you two will be the first mentions in my book when I shit on showbiz.
Can't wait.
You're going to be banned.
Time wasters. Well,
I know for a fact Glenn will look this up. So
in the shop.
Find more links to the Ansett in the show notes.
Interested in new books? Subscribe to Chapter One. Chapter One is a new podcast with me, Nellie Thomas. Each episode, you'll hear the first chapter of a new release book from top publishers. Subscribe and listen to Chapter One, a new podcast with me, Nellie Thomas. Search for Chapter One where you're listening now.